What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
My depth chart right now is Joe, Shador, Gabriel, and Pickett. Tone, what's your depth chart? Do you have a problem with mine?
You have Pickett dead last.
Yes.
Is it just based on unavailability?
A little bit. It's also, it's like, hey, man, you're either growing or you're dying. Yeah. There's no third direction. And I have a lot of faith in Joe to start the season. And it makes sense. It makes a lot of common sense about him starting, him playing, that whole thing. That makes sense to me. But the other two, the two kids, they're kids. And Dylan Gabriel was much better than what reports were saying of him out of camp. And we'll talk to Daryl about that coming up at 8:20 because Daryl didn't have too many kind reports about Dylan Gabriel, so I have to ask him. Same thing with Zach coming up at 9:01. But I thought Shador still, I think, got a higher ceiling. I like Shador, so I'm going to put him number two because I like him as a higher ceiling. But Kenny Pickett, no, I don't really know.
Yeah,
if Kevin Stefanski's saying it's going to be really hard to come out of this with four quarterbacks going into your 53-man roster, I don't know. I guess I'd rather go with the kiddos.
I guess what I don't understand is we're waking up, obviously, to tweets of people going after. When are you going to go after certain reporters that went after Dylan Gabriel? It's like, Dylan Gabriel was terrible in camp. I did ask on Friday, like, would you be that shocked if Gabriel had a nice performance? Because why not? Why can't a guy have
it? I actually thought I would be pretty surprised considering how bad everybody was saying he was going to be.
But I wasn't going to be because this would be the first time he actually got to be the quarterback and the ball's not taken from him, like after four throws. Like, we do have to realize how ridiculous a sampling that we're basing all of this on. Like, hey, go throw two balls. All right, get to the back of the line. Go throw two more. Get to the back of the line. Or, all right, here's your series down by the red zone. You get maybe six cracks at it. Now someone else comes in. Like, that's not real. It's not real football. None of that is real football. So it wasn't going to surprise me if Dylan Gabriel, who started how many games in college? 60-plus games?
60.
And played on some of the biggest stages of college football?
Big stages.
No, it wasn't going to surprise me that he went out there against, what would you say? What would you classify the defense
second
he
teamers.
Was going? Yeah, why not? Why not? He played against a bunch of guys that were first-round picks.
I mean, the guy,
his
who,
time in
the guy who he got pick-sixed on and actually recovered the fumble as well, I mean, he was a nice player out of Texas, but at the same time, he was a guy who had a shoulder injury to start off training camp. So, I mean, that was something that kind of put him back. So he was playing with the second teamers to get his work in. So, yeah, he was playing against guys, and he's a second teamer in his own right. So, by the way, let's hit training camp report for this because this is about as good as it's going to get right now. Go.
Training camp coverage powered by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy and Mentor.
Yeah, Drew Makuba, who was, I think, a second-round pick for them. I mean, I thought he played, obviously, everybody thinks he played pretty well. Guy had a pick six, but you're playing against guys who are second-teamers, but you're playing with second-teamers, and you are a second-teamer. So I put Dylan Gabriel third. I put Joe one. Before we set sail with these guys, where's your official depth chart?
Yeah, I mean, I had Shador third last week because, you know, Kenny Pickett was two. I don't know what to do with Kenny Pickett, but if we remove Kenny Pickett from the equation...
No, you got to put Kenny in because he's still on the team.
Then he's still second, right?
That's...
Yeah.
I want to know your depth chart.
Yeah, I mean,
this isn't the Browns.
I think Kenny Pickett, I have no idea what to do with him because if I haven't seen him play and the Browns have used an asset to go get him and they had him, you know, ahead of Joe Flacco. Remember, they went and got him and thought he would be the starter most likely and then see what they did in the draft and see what the gap was come draft time.
So Tone, Kenny, number three is who?
So
Joe, Kenny, number three is
if
who?
If I have Joe Flacco, one, Kenny Pickett, two, Shador, three, Dylan, four, but I don't think there's a huge gap between Dylan and Shador.
Okay. So if I put that on the internet, are we going to do a context matters thing?
No.
Like we're doing with Dylan Gabriel's comments here? Okay, go ahead.
Well, in Anthony's scenario, we've got four quarterbacks on the roster. Ken, do you have four quarterbacks on the roster?
Yeah, the roster's still there. I still got four quarterbacks.
By the time we come to week one?
No. If Kevin is saying it's going to be hard to have four quarterbacks on the roster by week one, I think he's telling you that someone's going to get cut, right?
Well, obviously he's the guy that's in charge.
Well, wait, are we talking about the 53 or?
I think he's talking about the 53 man.
Yeah,
roster.
But can't they hide one of the rookies?
You would think they should be able to, but.
I mean, he says in the post-game press conference here, and I'm going to send Owen on a little errand here before we get to the phones. I hate to do this to you. I mean, he says it's not realistic to keep four guys. So if the coach himself is saying it's not realistic, here it is.
Yeah, I think we'll let it play out as we get closer to the cutdown. Those are all conversations that we are always having, but those are tough decisions. I'd like to keep everybody, but not realistic.
Okay, not realistic to keep four guys. So if that's the context of it, that's what it says in the clip. So if Kenny's my fourth guy, Kenny's the odd man out for me.
Well, yeah, I mean he hasn't been able to really do anything other than those first 4 days.
I mean, do you think that Joe is going, or do you think that Kenny, in your heart of hearts, do you think he can realistically be the next Sam? And Sam Darnold's not out of the woods, obviously, in Seattle. I think there's a lot of people wondering about him in Seattle and whether or not it can be replicated what he was able to do last year. But is he in the same vein as Geno? Is he in the same vein as Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield, even for that matter, ironically?
I would say the odds are heavily stacked against him.
So I'm going to either grow by, I'm going to have the guy who's a veteran that the rest of the team already trusts, mm-hmm. and I'm going to have him number one, and then I'm going to have my two pups in there. And we'll let that figure out, because at least I could say at the end of the season, I'm growing. I don't know what I'm doing with Kenny Pickett. And part of that, is the unavailability. 216-474-0092. Tony in Mansfield, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Monday. How you doing?
Doing well, Tony. Go ahead.
Obviously. So, depth chart, Joe, then Shador, then Dylan Gabriel. I just think the depth chart, he's not available, so I think they're going to get rid of Kenny Pickett. As far as the eye test goes with the two rookies, I mean, Dylan had a good showing. I mean, again, preseason. I mean, what are we really getting out of him? But it just seems that, as far as the eye test goes, it seems like everything was so much. Dylan had to put a lot more effort into everything, even every throw. Obviously, his size has to do with that. But I think the ceiling is way higher for sure, Sanders, and it just looked like.
Well, what do you mean? You mean the way that he like uncoils his body, like that was Baker. Baker had to put a ton into his throws. So I don't look at that as a big. Drew Brees. You ever watch Drew Brees' mechanics? He would put his whole body into his throws.
And I knew that those examples were going to be brought up. The difference is when Baker throws the ball, he has to put more effort into it, but he can still throw the ball 70 mile an hour, right? It seems like Dylan, it was everything. Again, you could see that it was not a struggle, but more effort was put into it. And it's not like the ball was slinging out of there. It wasn't like it. Yeah, he hit the.
I mean, isn't Dylan? Isn't it kind of considered by most that Dylan Gabriel has a better arm than Shador coming out of the combine, I thought that was
I thought that was a consideration, yes.
But by the eye test, from what I saw, and who am I, but just my opinion, I thought it was more natural when Shador was in there. Dylan did all right. He surprised me, but I just still think Shador was more natural. I feel like, again, this is all opinion.
Yeah, that's fine.
I just think that Shador's ceiling is better. It's more natural. Just more command, and maybe that's just nothing but a farce, but that's just my opinion. Who knows?
Tony, we respect your opinion. I respect your opinion. Thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. It's not just because, I share some of what he's saying. I just think that right now, Shador has a higher ceiling. I thought he was better in his game. I thought both were good. I thought that he was better in his game. Again, I'm not cutting Dylan Gabriel, but if I'm going 1-3, and we're only keeping three, Dylan and Shador are both safe. It would be Kenny Pickett who I would let go. 216-474-0092, Walter in Cleveland. You're next up on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Glad
my thing
you.
With my depth chart, I'll go with it, would be Flacco, Sanders, and then I'll put Gabriel on the practice squad. The only reason I'll do that is the Browns got years of not being able to pick a quarterback. So the reason I think it's Sanders, other than performance, that let's go with the guy that they would never pick. Out of 30 years, they wouldn't pick the right guy, so who says they'll pick the right guy now, right? And like the last caller said about Gabriel, it's like he's jumping to throw the ball also, right? And he's only get accounted for two. He had two fumbles, the snap, and when he didn't get the ball to the guy, pick six. So turnover-wise, we can't have
that. I didn't find the pick six to be you're going to hate me. I didn't think it was really his fault. I got two dudes standing next to each other, neither of which knows who's going to be catching the football. That means your spacing is terrible. And Ross Tucker even said that, Walter.
But don't throw it, though. You can throw it away.
Somebody's there. I guess you could throw it away, but somebody's there. Someone's supposed to make a play on the ball. But if you got two guys standing right next to each other, that's going to be on the wide receiver coach. That's going to be on the tight end coach. That's going to be on those guys and how they're supposed to do what they're doing. So, and Deontay Johnson got knocked off the route. But I mean, hey, listen, a mistake's a mistake's a mistake. He's still the quarterback of the football team. And again, I don't see him getting cut, so I don't need to sit here and be his white knight over a bad football play. I just thought that the pass that he had on the screen attempt coming after that play, I thought that was a way worse pass than the one he got pick sixed on. That's my thought.
And he's just short. And I like Shadur because he's 6'2". And everybody knows that in this league, he got to take hits. He got to scramble. He got to do all this stuff and take a beating. And I just, you know, we've seen what happened with Baker with the shoulder and getting hit a lot. I just don't think he can make it as a starter. Backup is cool.
So I'll tell you this. Walter, I got to let you go. Thank you very much for the call. I'll tell you this. That is something that he's always going to have to fight that's going to be in the back of everybody's mind. I don't care. Nobody trusts a shorter quarterback. They just don't. I think that there were a lot of people questioning Kyler Murray coming out and questioning him being the number one guy. And everything else has been, okay, are you really going to be this guy or do you like video games or any of the other stuff? You're going to naturally find, and I know Ryan Mallett was the size of a country barn. There's guys who are big that suck too. But you're not going to find a lot of people with a lot of faith when you look under that height and you see 5'10", 5'9", you know, anything under 6 foot and really anything under 6'1", I think people are going to,
I know. I'm there too. And you're right. Like DeShone Kizer, 6'4", 236.
Because if you really want to let it go.
He sucked. 0-16.
If you want to go far, if you want to let that ball fly, man, they get further away and they get smaller as they move away from you. So you want a taller guy if you want to go vertical. And some of it's just a comfort thing with a lot of fans. You have to go out there and you have to prove it. Aditi joins us right now on the fan hotline. Hello, Aditi.
Good morning.
All right. So what do you think of all of this? What do you think of this whole hornet's nest that all of a sudden Dillon Gabriel accidentally found himself in?
It's just a shame. It's a shame that this is who we are as a society, that we don't want to know what the question is. We don't want to think about context, and we don't want to ever consider that whatever we've already put in our head is maybe not correct. And you know what the real shame is? And I said this to you, Ken. These are two really nice young men. Shadur Sanders is a really nice young man. I enjoy him. I like talking to him. Same with Dillon Gabriel. And if I'm a Browns fan, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, okay, I have two young quarterbacks who need to grow some, who need to develop some, but I believe in my coaching staff, and that's what that staff is going to do. But instead, it's become this, you're pulling for one, therefore you must hate and do everything you can to rip the other one. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's just what I'm seeing in one little facet of the world. But granted, my interactions aren't enormous, but I've had personal interactions with both, and I really think that they're both nice young men. It's frustrating. It's been a really frustrating weekend for me. I'll be honest.
Aditi, pit them against each other. Come on. Let's have some fun. It's a competition.
You are the entertainers. You, the hot take artist.
It's true.
That's what he's talking about. That's exactly what he's talking about.
And well, the funny thing is, I don't have a lot of hot takes in regard to this. I think Shadur is probably ahead of Gabriel, but I don't think there's some massive gap that can't be overcome. They're just up against it now.
Even then, why do you think that? You know, they both did what was asked of them. There was a little bit more offense asked of Dillon Gabriel simply because they're putting in more offense. They're putting in more motions. That's something that Kevin Stefanski has talked about, that he thinks it's a really important part of the game, pre-snap stuff. But you know, if you think about methodically what they did. Now, yes, Dillon Gabriel made a mistake. He had a busted play. Two pass catchers. One was pushed too deep. One was pushed too shallow. The play was screwed up. He should have thrown the ball away. But that's what the preseason is for. That's what practice is for a young player. He's probably never going to do that again. Sometimes you need to see it live to realize, ooh, I made a mistake there. That's not what I was supposed to have done. But you can't just sit here and say, based on statistics, it wasn't quite apples to apples here. They're both, and again, this is, you know, Kevin Stefanski loves to say that everybody is evaluated on a myriad of things. And we, as outsiders, fans, observers, we see maybe some things that are posted on Twitter, which isn't the entire, or X, or posted on social media, which isn't the entirety of every single practice. It's a few throws here and there. We see the games, and we don't see what happens in the meeting rooms. We don't see how people conduct themselves. There's just a lot more to it, okay? Like, even what I observe from the sideline, there's a lot more to it. And I think that on some level, when this is your team, have some faith in the two-time coach of the year, who, when he's been allowed to run his offense, has been able to run an offense, and trust what he's saying and seeing. I don't know. Does that feel too? That's not fun though, right?
Well,
it's more fun to sit here and argue. It's more fun to say we know better.
It's been. I got to tell you, I think it's been a little bit relieving here over the first couple of preseason games. It's like, all right, Shador was able to run an offense with Kevin. Certainly Dylan Gabriel was able to do it. I mean, there was questions about both these guys. So it does make me feel a little bit better about Kevin on that front, I have to admit. But let me ask you this. I mean, with Kenny Pickett and his inavailability here over these last couple of weeks, I don't know how far that sets him back. Do you think that set him back pretty far? Because now you're getting ready for a Rams game, and I'm like, all right, I'd like to make it 3-for-3 with Kevin and being able to run an offense with these guys. And this guy actually has previous NFL experience.
Well, I don't know. How healthy? What did Kevin say? I'm sorry that I missed that yesterday. I've been gone for a week, so I was trying to be available to my kids and doing lots and lots of laundry. What did he say about Kenny? Did he say he expects him to be full go for the Rams game?
Then, as far as I know, that's not exactly what I think we're still wondering about his hamstring and whether or not he's going to be ready to go.
So we had been told that Kevin was simply hopeful. He was hoping that Kenny would be ready to go, but he couldn't guarantee that. And you know what? I think that that's sort of another shame. There have been so many good things in this Browns camp that it makes me, I hate that we're not talking about the good and we're talking about the things that are sort of disappointing or a shame. That getting to watch joint practice with the Eagles on Thursday really made me understand why Grant Delpit said that practice should give a lot of guys confidence. This Browns team isn't as far off as a lot of the national media is making it to be.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
And this Browns defense, if it can find itself a slot corner and can stay healthy, is legitimate for sure. This Browns line, this offensive line, I would feel good about. Sure, DeJuan Jones has some growing and developing to do, but you've got four veteran savvy guys who can still play at a high level and who've played together for a long time. This run game finally is back, looks good. Dylan Sampson is better than expected, in my mind at least. I think there are things to be excited about. The Kenny Pickett thing is really a shame because that first week of practice, from everything I was told, he really was doing a very, very good job. Kevin Stefanski went out of his way to say that his speed impressed him. Clearly, he can execute what it is that Stefanski is looking to do. Joe Flacco is different. With Joe Flacco, you have a more explosive downfield passing game than you do with Kenny Pickett. But with Kenny Pickett, you have a more athletic quarterback and maybe you commit fewer turnovers. It's just, I don't know. I'd love to see him. I so appreciate that the Browns are an organization that care enough that they weren't letting him go out there, that they letting him go push himself. They were essentially protecting him from himself. And they were saying, you're not running full go until we deem that you are indeed healthy to do that. You don't do that unless you care about a player. So that's all really positive, but it is a shame because it hasn't been the full-throated competition that we thought it would be. And obviously, Joe Flacco is a veteran. Joe Flacco, I've said this repeatedly. He was the better quarterback last year, but no team is going to play a 39-year-old veteran when you have a number one over a first-round pick that you're desperately trying to be your guy. So you, I think that things could have been different had Flacco played all last year. So this isn't at all a, okay, he wins this competition by default. I'm not saying that. If everybody had been healthy, then perhaps this would have been the same outcome. And he's certainly someone that you can feel really good about and feel good about getting behind and leadership and all of those things. It's just, it's a shame that we didn't get to see Kenny Pickett healthy. And now I'm curious. It's a lot of time that's been lost, but there's still a lot of time before the season starts. So clearly Kevin had decided that he wanted to name a starter this week and he does want to have a dress rehearsal, but just because you have, a lot of teams play more than one quarterback. A lot of crazy things happen in a season. So right now I think you should feel good about what's in the room.
We've certainly been around watching some exciting players or, you know, personnel groups in random preseason games. And then we try to figure out, like, what's actually real. And yesterday when the Browns, I should say on Saturday, when the Browns, you know, outgained the Eagles 331-88 and they walk away from even the Philly reporters at the end of the week said, oh, my God. The Browns held their own. In fact, they won the second day, like unequivocally. I'm sitting here a little guarded because, you know, we've had a good exchange with Philly in the past. I just don't know what to take away that's real. You said there's real optimism, and that to me is real. But how confident are you, Aditi, that they can turn that optimism into something that means something in the regular season?
Well, Jim Schwartz was in a much better mood with me in my halftime interview this year than he was a year ago. So I'm going to take that. Do you guys remember that? Do you remember last year I asked him about building off the previous year? And he snapped at me said, nobody's healthy and I haven't seen anyone together. And how do you know we're going to do that? I actually teased him before this game. I said, well, you know, you were totally right about that, actually, because the defense did indeed start slow last year. But I think Jim Schwartz being in good spirits is a good sign for me. Can I leave it at that?
I would think so. Especially, I mean, good God, he was in a bad, rotten mood. It seemed all preseason last year, kind of like he knew what was coming. I think guys kind of thought that they were going to just be able to replicate the success they had the year before, and I think they started off too late. And I think he knew that. Aditi, with some of the other guys, like, was there anybody else who has stuck out to you that might not be sticking out to, or might have not stuck out before this training camp had really started, as far as guys who we could watch and be possibly on this football team?
I really enjoy this young man, Gage Larvadan. I think that he's an interesting story. You know, he went to Southeastern Louisiana. He played both basketball and football. We teased him. He said that the hardest decision of his life was giving up basketball. And he said, but you can't play in the NBA and the NFL both. He's been good when his number has been called upon. You obviously want to know what that wide receiver room is going to look like. And after Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman, there are a lot of questions. You all know that I personally am really hoping and pulling for Deontay Johnson to get himself back on track. He still looks really good getting in and out of his breaks. He still got plenty of game left. There was a 3-year stretch with the Steelers where he had more than 80 catches every year. Even Ben Roethlisberger really sought him out as a go-to guy. That would be wonderful if he could be someone. I'm really curious about that slot corner position, and I don't know that that person is on the roster right now. So,
you're not the only one to say that. You're not the only one to say that. I'll tell you, Aditi, I think that they're wondering it themselves.
Well, you know, these young corners have had opportunities, and I think that that's what's so tough right now too, right? For these players, is that you're at your best when you're loose. You're at your best when you're relaxed. And it's hard to be loose and it's hard to be relaxed. And it's funny because this is part of the conversation we'd had with Dylan Gabriel too, that how do you avoid putting too much pressure on yourself, or how do you feel pressure, essentially, was the question. And so much of it is just inherent in the fact that Shedeur Sanders is a rock star. Andrew Siciliano, who you all know, said that he has not been around a player who has this much around him since Tim Tebow. And by this much around him, I mean the fan fervor, the excitement about him, the passion that people who root for him feel. And I think it's important to note here, it's not like Shedeur Sanders is riling up these fans to go after Dylan Gabriel or to go after reporters who say something. If anything, a couple weeks ago, I thought Shedeur Sanders showed a great amount of maturity in saying, I don't actually want my dad around because he can be a media distraction. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he said that someone, such an outsized personality like his dad, can be a blessing and a curse. So regardless of whether he's actively inviting that or not, there is this huge, I don't even know what the word is. Ken, help me out. I don't want to diminish it, or I don't want to denigrate it, but there's this huge fan following around him. And so that's hard for a guy like Dylan, for any player mm-hmm. who's also competing to play the same position. But then you've also got a young man who's had these knocks about his height his whole life. And then you've got a young man who was hurt a week ago and now is following up on this other player's great performance where he showed great poise, great demeanor. And Dylan Gabriel said to us, he said, it's not pressure. It's about feeling urgency, because anytime this is essentially a production and performance.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head, that breaking story, or that conversation you just have to be a part of.
That's the brand new song from.
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots, he scores.
That's radio. Happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Based business. So you have to feel an urgency to produce, to perform. And he said, but his mindset has always been just do your job each day. Do your best with each snap, and eventually those stack up and you end up where you want to be. And I think that that's a great attitude. And I think that that's how you approach opportunities. But for all of these players here, part of it is the mental piece. And so I want to look at these young corners. I'm taking a circuitous route here, sorry, but I want to look at these young corners and say, okay, you've had opportunity. What are you doing with that opportunity? Are you making the most of that opportunity? And are you able to essentially prove to your coaches that this job should be yours? And I just don't know that that's happened yet, that somebody has seized that position and said, okay, you can trust me right there.
Aditi, we thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you again hopefully next week. You take care of yourself. And, of course, we'll be watching coming up on Saturday.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
The great Aditi Kinkabwala. on the fan hotline, giving us the very latest, her side of everything, where it's like, hey, this is going nuts, which it makes me think, I think this is a far bigger deal on your keyboard than in real life. Aditi Kinkabwala with us just moments ago. Hear that entire interview, 92.3thefan.com. Daryl Wright are going to join us at 8:20. I got questions to ask Daryl about Dylan Gabriel. I think we know what questions I'm going to ask Daryl coming up at 8:20. Also, not a good weekend for the Gardos that coming up at 8:01. So, hearing what Aditi had to say about Dylan Gabriel, because I mean, obviously the context part bothered her. What people are saying on the internet bothered her. And I got to admit, like, there were some people even going, well, your own network put it. I go, Didi's CBS and News 5 now. She is not NFL Network anymore. Hasn't been for 2-3 years now. So the NFL putting it out, yeah, the NFL wants clicks just as much as anybody. The NFL wants reactions just as much as anybody. They are entertainers. They're in pro football is an entertainment business. I know guys stay up 20 hours a day working on game plans, this, that, and the other. It's an entertainment business. It's meant for us to be entertained by. And Dylan Gabriel, whether he likes it or not, when he says he is in the business of competing and not entertaining, I mean, you're part of the entertainment, whether you like it or not. And people are going to interpret that any way they possibly want. And there's been plenty of people who have interpreted that as a shot at Shador Sanders. You said you were surprised that wasn't my first initial thought. I just don't think. And if you want to call me naive, you go right on ahead. I don't think a guy who has been as buttoned up, quiet about this quarterback controversy or about this quarterback competition, try not to turn it into a controversy, about this quarterback competition would just do halftime during a preseason game to finally take a shot at Shador Sanders publicly. I just didn't believe it then. I certainly don't believe it now. So that wasn't my original thought. So you had said, you and several others at the feast, when you saw those comments, you went, oh boy.
Yeah, before we saw the full exchange, and then once we saw the full exchange, it obviously changed things. Well, just because, I mean, come on. We have never seen a situation like this, where you have two guys battling, but yet they're not battling for the starting job, but yet there is more recognition of this competition than there are some other starting jobs. It's bizarre. And then one guy has, you know, all these roots in reality shows and national media paying attention to the likes we haven't really seen maybe since Tim Tebow. That guy was a first round pick. Like, and the other guy has just been deplorable by almost everybody's standards. It's watch camp every day. And finally, he gets a chance to perform, does some really good things, did some bad things too, but did some really, really nice things. I thought made some very impressive third down throws. I thought were nails on some of those tosses.
What I didn't think of it is like I thought Dylan Gabriel played well. And hey, we do Super Bowl Super Round sometimes out of spite, sometimes out of happiness, sometimes because it's the only good thing we can say about the football team. I mean, Super Bowl Super Brown said for everything. I know that some people across the river might be worked into a shoot over, but I don't care about that. I thought he played well enough, but I didn't think he was all of a sudden puffing out his chest. Like, you guys all thought I was going to be terrible. You guys all wanted to make a big thing about this fifth-round guy, so I'm going to take shots at him. Over 143 yards. And a pick six and a fumble, if we're going to do that. I thought he made some very nice throws. But I didn't think that Dylan Gabriel would be picking that time while they're still teammates. If he even felt that way, I don't know how he feels about Shador Sanders, but even if he did feel that way, you're not going to pick halftime of a preseason game or a sideline interview of preseason game number two to take shots at another guy on your own football team? That's insane. I don't understand how I was the only one living in some common sense at that point on Saturday afternoon.
But you couldn't understand when, you know, he has this the most exciting time possibly of his life. He gets drafted by an NFL team in the third round when projections had him fourth, fifth, man, some even worse than that. He gets drafted in the third round, thinks, all right, now I know. Now I know what needs to be done. I'm in a situation where they don't really have a starting quarterback. Maybe I have a chance to actually earn the starting job. And then they pick Shador Sanders. He's had to deal with the Shador stuff over the last year. Not just every quarterback has. you know, these guys, I think, have all been wondering, why is Colorado getting all the buzz? We're the team that's ranked near the top or number one. Well, why are they getting talked about? I'm the guy putting up these numbers. I have a win against Ohio State. Like, you can imagine throughout the season, you know, what that was like for a lot of guys, including Dillon Gabriel. And then to be confronted with it, and let's be honest, he's being confronted with not just Shador. He's being confronted with his fan base. Look how his fan base seizes hold of every opportunity. And he's got to be thinking, man, if I would have been drafted just anywhere else, in any other situation, maybe that's possible. I wouldn't have had to deal with these crazies that are flocking out of nowhere. They don't care about the Browns. They just care about Shador.
Even if he thought that way, an interview in a preseason game during the game is not the time to shoot your shot. And I would hope, as a guy who's played for two of three big programs, I mean, Oklahoma and Oregon, no offense to UCF, they're different beings. They're different beings. You're trained in the media to not do that stupid stuff. And that would be incredibly stupid. And why I think that this is a much bigger deal in people's keyboards than it is in real life, I don't know, Tone. I had to go do volunteer work on Saturday. And I'm standing there at our booth over at I made it sound like I was Mother Teresa over there. What didn't I? Either that or I was doing community service. Either or. But I'm standing there at this event in Streetsboro. Plenty of Browns fans. What'd you think of Dillon? Nobody. And there were running the gamut of teenagers all the way up to elderly senior citizens. What did you think of Dillon Gabriel? Nobody said a word about his comments. Nobody. So I think it's a much bigger deal in our world on the internet and to the people on the internet than it ever is in real life.
It was absolutely huge online.
I don't think the general Browns fan noticed or cared or thinks that Dillon Gabriel and Shador Sanders, one hates the other or they hate each other. I don't think either of them think that way. That's why I didn't respond. Or I didn't think about it. I didn't think it was a big deal then, and I'm trying not to think it's a big deal now. And Aditi with the context, guy, I saw the quote. Aditi with the context is trying to say it's not that damn big of a deal, or at least he's not going after Shador Sanders.
Well, just the wording was so perfect for people who didn't have the context to confuse it. It couldn't have been mapped out any better than to say entertainers versus competitors. That's a perfect storm. That is the absolute perfect assembly of words to get people to pit these quarterbacks against each other when we haven't seen any evidence of them have any kind of hatred for each other. I would even argue to say, like, I don't even think there's been, like, you know, normally when there's a competition, you see guys like we saw that with like Hoyer and Manziel.
Yeah.
It was pretty obvious. The people that were covering the team at the time, they're like, these guys do not like each other. They do not really care for each other right now. And maybe it was just a situation more than anything.
If you were Brian Hoyer, why would you? Because I'll tell you what, at least these guys seem to be taking it seriously, but I don't want to dust that off again.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.